You know, I never know for whom I make these records. I doubt anyone will listen, but I'm not entirely comfortable making them a log only for myself. Very well. Let us begin. I'm at my retreat near the lake. Its true name is Lost to Time, and accessing it is quite difficult in the first place, but still, people do make their way here. From my crystalline window, I can zoom in on the bay and see the lilies glistening. These creatures were turned on last night. Truth be told, so too am I. Being here always brings back such delicious memory. I want to watch, and I know I can only stay here so long. The lilies live here. They're adapted. They can keep their dripping petals in check. They can keep their stamens unstrummed. I, on the other hand, am strumming constantly. The pollen, the pink flowers on the bank, the ones that don't smile and think and moan, those ones emit a material which arouses everyone, all people. No amount of magical power can repel it. It's like it's a rule of this place. Arousal will always rise eventually. It's unhealthy to hold back for too long. The pollen has formed the basis for so many of my tools and tricks by now. They are coming out now, and I can hear the girls beginning to wake. The bay is gorgeous this time of year. Stallions are emerging, and they're fine specimens. Their balls are so full of seed already. My senses let me know that I could coax so much sperm from them I would have trouble handling it. Unsurprising. I am not made for this. Not the way they are. The lilies are perking up and tittering. Everything is a test. My colleagues, on the few occasions I've spoken to them, admit that with me things are more of a test than usual, but everything is a test. Those stallions are subjects taken in at some lab or another. They're trained as studs, trained to breed, quite intelligent people, actually. But when confronted with horny people who want to be impregnated, they lose all reason. So I call them stallions, for they are nothing more. They have huge cocks and massive testes, powerful muscles. Again, I know them to be quite brilliant, but these stallions, these studs, they lose their reason in the face of the pollen and the horny plant women who live here, their vines twining around and their petals, their pussies welcoming penetration. I prefer to remain clinical in my notes, because if I talk or think too much about pussies, cocks, the gorgeous men and women coupled in breeding sex, I will lose all reason. So as I speak of stallions, of lilies, understand this is for the sake of clinical detachment, as I study new ways to coax balance, and the retention of powerful energies in chaste subjects, until their inevitable fall and release. This too is what the lake is for, to serve as an example I may use, and a reminder of other times. So here is how it works. Each day, the stallions approach for one of their little dates. They become more pent up every day. It wasn't much at first, but I'm being affected almost as much as they are. This is early days, the first and second of the dates. Stallion cocks, long, thick, the testicles entirely too powerful over the entire system at this point. The shafts stand proud from the moment they smell the lilies nearby, but the degree to which that hardness represents danger of spilling their seed is none at all. Stallions come in the lilies, or not at all. Sperm only flows over stamen into petals, gushing against them and being sucked inside eagerly. There is no world in which climax will happen anywhere else. The pressure inside of them is too much. And there is a feeling. I see one of them now, approaching. The testicles are truly flooded. The scent of the lilies, their lust in the air, the pollen of this place aiding them. The body language is simple and interesting. The stallions approach, their testicles bouncing, their penises visibly having difficulty resisting the urge to climax, for all it is impossible for them to do so. The lilies will kiss the testicles easily, openly, completely, losing themselves in massaging and smooching the balls. And this action, it really does seem to turn them on to a level that they hide even from themselves. I love when both sides are lost in the experience. The semen inside of those testes is enough to make the balls themselves taut and tortured. And then a kiss happens. No, a simple kiss, just the lips, no tongue. That might as well be a hello. The entire idea is that a kind of mating dance is going on. The lilies will allow themselves to give in only when they must, only when they are truly overcome. In the meantime, they dole out their saliva gently and rarely, only pressing their tongue past their lips slyly and in secret. The etiquette is one of the tragedies of the commons. If a lily gives in, the rest will be drawn in, and all will fall to their ardor. Accordingly, when they know the game with their mates will end, they're careful not to end it too early. They kiss lightly. They touch with their tongues on the sly. None of them would admit it to one another. When they use their tongues, it is sparingly, for it is an inevitable part of the journey of the stallions and of the women ministering to those lengths. You see, when one of them surrenders, they all surrender. But a single touch of their saliva is so soothing, relaxing enough to cause the balls to relax. The seminal vessels inside are momentarily at ease, at peace, and as a result, the lilies have a way to provoke. It's a fascinating substance. The saliva will relax the testicles, but it also increases seminal release until the testes are full and toned once more shortly afterward. It's strange to see how they treat the testes and the penis so differently. I do theorize that because the testicles carry a thick load of the substance they both crave and understand will lead to their impregnation, they can't quite resist them. On the other hand, the penis is more explicit, and touching it in any way is considered a closeness between the two parties. When one of the lilies licks the underside, or works herself against the penile shaft, especially with her tongue rather than just her lips, she's praising her counterparty more and more. This indicates closeness with the penis's owner, to a point of completeness based on how far from the testes the kiss is. Kisses with tongue leave shining impressions, and one or another of the métis, her fellows, if the penis they were kissing has come away with shining impressions and saliva on it, showing that it was kissed with tongue. Too much of this, on the balls or on the shaft, and the penis will spurt, releasing a truly immense cargo. But that would be against the spirit of the game, so it must be prevented. They pop their mouths loudly off the penis, off the testes, causing a large amount of seed to form inside, and leaving a mark big enough that the tone and pressure becomes considerable. Oh, I see one of the stallions is pressing his penis against one of them against their lips. Ah. That's too much. The game is over for today. When a lily falls, she gets teased, at least at first. There are far more lilies than the number of muscled studs walking around with huge cocks and testes full of seed, so some are more willing than others to fall. They hide, switching places from day to day, and the stallions end up finding willing partners, seducing them. Upon the fall, the game ends for the day, and later everyone begins again. Someday, ravishment will happen. Those testes are so full, so firm, toned, and the sperm inside, if it were released, even one sperm would be enough. The entry into a lily will be enough to impregnate, to fill, to bring about the fall, instantly. There is far more, far much more than the small amount needed to do the job, and the lilies will end up full. Stuffed to the brim by the release, which is utterly consumed into delicious expansion, swelling and then squirting, painting their lower bodies, gushing out with the obvious overfilling of their petals, the flooding of their insides. The stallions are going home for today with just a few tender kisses. Where a lily smooches their partner tells you how close the two are, and today none have gone further than the halfway mark of the shaft. Even aroused as they are, it'll take some time before the flirtation grows, before searching kisses with aphrodisiac saliva find their ways to the heads of penises and thus signal the coming fall. I'm going to get some rest, if you know what I mean. Ah, okay. Today I see that they're nice and ripe, ready for the plucking, ready on both sides. I didn't think they would last so long. Many days, many rounds, each of them getting nearer and nearer and nearer. It's good. I think it'll go quite well. The desperately aroused stallions have been taking their hardened pricks to Lily's earlier and earlier in the morning. Their testes are huge. Those hardened lengths are swollen, pressing outward. The testes are honestly full. And this is going to be the day. I've become very good at telling, having watched this enough times. I couldn't once upon a time, and it took me utterly by surprise when I witnessed them giving in. I'm watching one of them smooching the tip of a shaft, and then another. They've gone from only kissing halfway up a shaft to right at the end. Once, the lilies would have scolded their fellows for the sultry, inexplicit kisses I'm seeing now, but they're all too turned on. The lust has grown in absolutely everyone, provoking enough licking of penile heads and massaging of shafts. Their arousal is vast. At night, it's really something to watch. I joined them in their moaning crescendos last night as desire grew, as each lily wanted and waited to be covered, to be taken, to use their petals to milk sperm forth and let it into them. They only need one drop inside, but they're all now yearning for much more than one single sperm. It's over. The first one is falling on her back, spreading, allowing entry into the long tunnel of her, entry for a penile shaft attached to testes so engorged by multiple exposures to her saliva that it has grown to bulging tautness, and oh, it has slid inside, just slid inside and sat there, barely moved and barely moving. Her insides are milking it empty, pulling out sperm in long, slow waves as she rolls her head back and looks toward the sky. From within the bay, from within the waters, the stallion's relief is loud, and it sets the honeymoon in motion. With the fall of the first of them, all of the others are allowing their mates to take them, cocks sliding inside, and once captured and being milked within, in the impossibly tight grip that spreads and splays wide for them, the seed pulsing from a penile shaft, allowing the passage to bulge. The wonderful feeling of being filled is overtaking every one of their faces. So much sperm. The lilies wanted this, and it took so long. Only so many rounds of penile torment, the testes swelling, the lilies winning the game day by day, and the stallions going away, leaving the sweet flowers untouched, but they wanted to be touched. They regretted each time they did not surrender, each time they held out. Peer pressure, the expectation none of them would fall until enough time had passed, and then when one falls, they all fall. Seeing the first coupling, the others have united, and now there are stallions in various thrusting motions, cocks going in and out at rapid speed, practically a blur as the insides are stretched in ropes of sperm shot so powerfully. Others are moving slow, leisurely, making love in a way which evokes sensuality rather than abandon. These seem to make for the happiest lilies, and their moans are the loudest. This is hardly a surprise. Some level of restraint is and can be very good. The longer the thrusting continues, the more the lilies learn about their new mates. The genetic material will be retained, passed on to their progeny. The next generation of lilies will know even better how to pleasure their partners and pull sperm out of them. How to delay them to make for the most pleasurable cycle. The result is an impossible cycle where the pleasuring grows better and better, with each lily also finding better ways to feel good, to excite, and make the cocks pent up, and then, when they come to pleasure them, they know how to provoke pleasure. The ways they provoke it will only be surpassed by the next, and the next, and the next generation, because in order to win the game, the stallion has to tempt their partner into her fall. So they must be cleverer and cleverer. And if the lilies wait too long, they become overcome by the pollen, just like I do. Oh, yet another. And she is falling. She has fallen. I am watching as each thrust causes resounding ripples. Pleasure, climax, and the sperm brings even more of it. It is the best possible feeling. And with the abandon of their resolve, the moral degeneration follows. A group that was so resistant to the idea of ever losing to hard penile shafts and big sperm-filled balls is now devoted to making those climaxes last as long as possible. If one is going to fall, they might as well all fall and fall well. Fall their best. lose themselves to their limit. A lake where relief is guaranteed. There is no escape because escape doesn't even make sense as a concept. The fall has happened. Now there is nothing but the spurting, moaning climax that fills the air. The same as the pollen once did. They wrap around. The pollen in the air is exciting everyone involved, including me. Down there now, by the lake, is the sweaty, sticky, impregnated aftermath of the spurting. The grand smell of musk and sex mixes with the pollen, and the lust of the lilies is so obvious. Spurt and squirt filled and fulfilled. Every single one of them who wanted it has gotten it, in some cases, because a stallion being pleasured by more than one gorgeous lily does happen. And left tormented sometimes by their vines, or the special fluids of the women down there. The spurts inside are spilling back out. The sperm is filling, flooding, stretching, making climax happen. The presence of the sperm brings the climax, and the climax shivers so deep it changes everything. Forever. The honeymoon, the rut, the frenzy is complete, and in its completion it has allowed time enough to breathe. But I cannot help myself from seeing it, imagining it, craving it. Every single one of them is painted inside, ravished. The fall of the bay. Every single flower, so gushingly full that there's no escape from the truth. They are taken, just as they wanted to be. The irresistible pleasure of the seed within them. Finally having licked and seduced and allowed their fall. It is orgasmic, it is constant, and I can sense it as I sense all releases, all falls in my presence. Gorgeous, the size of pleasure, the dissolution of minds, the collapse of the willing surrender which ends in a spurt that steals all reason and pulls away all sense. That is why I do this. This is why I do this. Yeah. I saw this, the rut, many years ago. A bay where these lilies falling to sperm and cocks and the lust for being filled and fulfilled. I saw it all. I saw release arrive at last, but only after a hard-won fight. The ravishment went all night, and the pleasure was inescapable. There's power there, you know, both in the waiting and in the release. Enough power to give me purpose. The surrounding villages, the wider world, they're full of unrealized potential, pent up seed in so many places, energy wild and out of balance. I refuse to allow it to remain so, and like always, I've learned to do it better. One of the couples, I saw something, and I should be writing it down instead of masturbating, but the pollen has done its work on me, and release is all I could think about until, even I need a release from time to time, purely to focus, you understand. I'm not as desperate now as I was when I pawed at myself long ago. Laying in the long grass by the bay, climaxing to the scent of lust and the sound of the lilies losing themselves to their mates. But I've never been the same since then. And tonight I saw one of the lilies reach out and take a flower, one of the flowers spreading this aphrodisiac desire, one of the small petals, and she powdered it between her fingers, put it on her lips and let it dribble down to coat her stamen, rubbing and lubricating herself with the stuff of lust. And when her stallion thrust inside, she arched her back so much. The almost instant way the sperm coated her insides, filled her, gushed out of her more than she would ever need. More than would even be reasonable. More than anyone else in the bay. I know she was on to something. Of course her mind is fallen and her body is filled, and she's too satiated now for me to interview her. If ever I could have anyway. I'd always feared the pollen, refused to do much with it. But if I dilute it as she did, I think I can use it as a lubricant, sparingly, and on the right subject, of course. End of log. I'll come again in a month when this stuff is out of my system, so I can think clearly for more than 10 minutes at a time. Currently, I'm experiencing intense arousal tied to this place, a reminder of times gone by. And pleasant though it was, I have work to do in the wider world. Off I go.